Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like gets a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Slapping Me to Wrestling Podcast. I am We Too Deep. Again, just some housekeeping as we always start these shows. First link in the description will take you to our WWE Shop affiliate link. Click the link, buy your merchandise as always, and we will get a small percentage of the funds to us for you guys using that link. Also, join the Discord, join the conversation outside of the show. You can, you know, some of the perks in that. If you're not in there, is, you know, you can submit topic suggestions. You know, I do on Tuesday, me and Wavy D do questions from Discord where you guys leave your questions. We answer them the best we can. We do a lot of interactive things on there, to try to garner some sort of conversation. But you also get access to, the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, with James and Cody. They're on there. They'll post their links when they go live and all of that fun stuff there. And just the conversation of talking during the shows and while things are going on and predictions and just it's a avenue for you guys and for all of us to sort of connect and to build a community. So that link is also in the description, or if you wait to the end of the episode, the QR code will flash up that you can join through as well. But with that, let's go into the meat of this. Let's talk some wrestling. But that's what we're here for. On Tuesday we covered, sort of reviewed the weekend, right? And we talked a little bit about No Mercy. And I wanted to go a little bit deeper than what I went on Tuesday into this card. Me being the NXT guy in the casual community, like, to my knowledge, there's only two podcasts that I know of where the host of that podcast claims to be a casual fan and it's making content for the casual fans. That's myself, and that is the Casual Wrestling Show with Nerdy D. Right, and we're the only two that I know of. I'm not saying that we're the only two, but we're the only two that I know of that claim to be casual and making content for casual fans. But with that also being said, I think he's a little bit more on the just casual side. I am 100% okay having hardcore fans listen to the show and building a community with all of wrestling. Our perspective a little bit. I know Nerdy D enough. We have a lot of the same thought patterns when it comes to wrestling. I think the only place that I would differ with him in like how we categorize the wrestling community is he would say the casual fan, the casual wrestling community is outside of the IWC. I would say that it's a part of it, but whereas the overarching group is known as the IWC, and then you have like subsections of hardcore casual, he would say that the CWC is outside of the IWC. From my understanding, I could be wrong, but that's sort of where our differences lie in sort of that categorization. So I'm okay with the IWC. Listening to my podcast because the IWC also includes my mindset with that is if you're on the internet and you're a wrestling fan and you're making you don't necessarily have to be making content, but if you're responding to podcasts or responding to videos or posting your opinion on the internet, whether you're a casual watcher of the product or you are a hardcore, we watch everything that says wrestling. If you're posting on the internet, in my opinion, you are casual, or you are the IWC. Now, there are subsections. You have your hardcore fans. You have your casual fans. You have your enjoy everything. You have your AEW fans, your W, right? And so that's where my categorization is, that IWC, the internet wrestling community, is the whole community as a whole, and then we can break it down to hardcore casual. Whereas Nerdy D, from the most part, from some of the content that I get from him and some of the conversations I've had with him, sort of separates the two, that there's the hardcore fans are the IWC, and then the casual fans are by themselves in this other. They're not part of the IWC, which I understand. Used to think that way. I think categorically, if we're all on the internet and we're all posting our opinions, we're all the internet wrestling community. All of that to be said, join the Discord, whether you're IWC, hardcore, casual, just got started wrestling, been watching for 30 years, whatever the situation is, join the Discord. We'd love to have you. We want to build a wrestling community that's what it's here for, right? Wrestling's a great place to, you know, build community and friendships with people that you've never met before and have something that connects you together, right? That's what that Discord is for, where the conversation sort of continues. All right, so let's dive deep into No Mercy, right? We're not going to go like match for match, but I wanted to, you know, me being the NXT guy in this community, in the casual fan base, right? Like Nerdy D is the SmackDown guy. His co-host Mike, it was deemed as like the ambassador of Raw. You know, Wavy D sort of, I forgot the title he created for himself. I'll have to ask him Tuesday, or maybe he can put it in the comments of what he is. But Wavy D never necessarily, you know, doesn't pay 100% attention to NXT all the time. So I'm the NXT ambassador of the casual wrestling community. I'm the guy. I will be here. I will sell you every single week that NXT is the best wrestling on the planet. That is what I will do. I will stand by that. There's nothing in my mind, right? Over, you know, leading up to SummerSlam, I was starting to change and say, no, you know what? Raw's become the best product on TV. And then Triple H ends SummerSlam, and he moves into this lull trying to build to WrestleMania, and the product has gone pretty stale. And NXT, the thing to me that I like is I like a show that's consistent, right? I like a show that when I tune into NXT every week, I know exactly what I'm going to get every single week. It's going to be consistent, right? The layout's consistent. And NXT is easily digestible. So the first thing that I want to talk about, and while I completely understand the sentiment, but this idea from some of the casual fan base that, you know, I watch Raw, I watch SmackDown, I just don't have time to watch NXT. I completely understand that sentiment. But the idea of like, I can't get behind it, I don't have any emotional connection. You know, if you were tuning in, if you're a casual fan, never watched NXT, and you tuned into No Mercy, and I heard someone say like they tuned in, they turned it off halfway because they had no emotional connection to. And then, so I'll be honest, I didn't watch it on Sunday night. I was traveling, wasn't in a position to watch the show, so I watched it Monday night, right before Raw, right? I got home Monday afternoon, turned on NXT No Mercy. That ended. Then Raw literally came on right after, right? So going into this, I felt, okay, did they just not introduce the stories well enough on the show to where people who haven't been watching the product would understand what's going on. Because that's my number one thing with WWE that I like to give them credit for, is if you can never watch the show except for the PLEs, and you'll know the storyline going into the matches. So I turned on the show, and I'm sitting here watching, and I'm like, how do you – you don't have to necessarily have emotional connection, but you should know the story. They did a very good job telling why these people are fighting before each match. And so this whole idea of – like, I can understand and I can see how you could justify – I just don't have time. Like, especially as a casual fan, like – I don't have time to watch NXT and to add it to a busy schedule of other things. Completely understand that. Like, that's a justifiable excuse. But to sit there and then to watch it and say, well, I'm just not into, I don't understand the story. Well, they told you the story, right? And my number one complaint I have with the casual side of the fan base is not caring enough about the in-ring product. At the end of the day, that's what this business is. And so this is where I'm a little bit more hardcore than most casual fans, right? I understand the sentiment of I'm here for the storyline, because I get that. I'm here for the story as well. But at the end of the day, the business is wrestling. The business is the match. And so for me, the way I look at it is, especially when you're watching PLEs, that's where the wrestling's supposed to happen. I believe that there's a story you tell on the weekly shows, that the drama, the promos, the plot points expand, and then you get to the PLE and the match happens. And you either continue the feud or you end the feud. And you move to something different, but the match is that place that determines that. And without the actual wrestling match, the rest of the show doesn't matter. And so I'm not a big fan of these casual fans that come in here and, you know, sort of don't care about the in-ring product. You don't have to necessarily care about the X's and O's, but if you know, I don't know. It sort of irked me that, I'm not going to watch NXT because it's too wrestling based. That's the business, right? And I think that's actually what draws me to NXT, is while I get gimmicks and while I get storylines and while I get like 95% of the roster on every single episode in some way, shape, or form, I know in that 2-hour period of time, all of that's going to happen, and I'm still going to get really good in-ring action, which is what I watch wrestling for. I watch it for the stories, right? So let's compare it to AEW for me, because I think NXT is the closest thing in the world of wrestling to what AEW wants it to be. I think AEW wants it to be similar to what Black and Gold NXT was, where it was wrestling based, right? And so what I see is that NXT and AEW are super comparable. It is a wrestling based show. What I think AEW fails to do is to give me a reason for why the match is happening, right? 90% of the time when I watch AEW, you know, I'll use an example from this Dynamite. Nyla Rose gets a title opportunity against Mariah May, and from an outsider like me who doesn't necessarily watch the show, this just seemed very random to me that Nyla Rose is getting a title opportunity when, as far as I can tell, Nyla Rose hasn't been on TV in several weeks, if not months. So that's just strange to me, right? So where AEW fails to grab my attention, because I love the wrestling-based product. Where AEW fails to get my attention is to give me a reason for the wrestling match, right? So, like, Swerve Hangman, great feud, because it's personal. There's a story behind it, right? And it's probably the best thing they have on the product right now. there's a reason for the match. But not, but then, so they'll do something like that, but the rest of the show is just match after match after match after match that have zero reason, right? Whereas NXT, the whole show is storyline. We're going to put this match on to continue a story. We're going to do this, and we're going to have this happen, and it continues a story, and we're going to have this happen backstage, right? NXT is the story, but it is also in-ring. And so it's the best of both worlds mixed together. And I think that's what makes it very compelling television and easy to watch for at least for me, because it's the best of what I'm looking for. It is the in-ring product and the storyline. It's AEW, but add in storyline for every single game, every single segment of the show is telling me a story. Whereas AEW, for the most part, and this is no diss to them, this is what this is their formula. It just doesn't draw me individually. Is right, and so that's my first takeaway from No Mercies. I don't understand how someone can say, you know, I've never watched the product before, but I'm not into the story, because they told you the story. Every single match, they gave you a promo leading up to the story to try to fill in that gap. Right. And I feel like they did a very good job at doing that. Right. So we start with the banger tag team match to get the action pumped up and and we get a title change right away with Fraxium winning the titles back. We get Ridge turning on Chase U, which was an interesting touch that I was not prepared for. I knew he was turning. I did not think it would be instantly after losing the titles, right? But then watching NXT from Tuesday, and he gave the little speech in the classroom a couple weeks ago where he says, as long as we're champions, I'll have your back. That should have been the seed that told us that if they lost the championship, he was turning that night. That was the seed. Like, I heard that and the spark connected. And I'm like, oh, shit, he told us this was going to happen, right? And that's the type of booking that I like, that you could lean back and say, hey, they told us this was going to happen. They left that Easter egg there. I love that shit. I love it. So then we move on, you know, Oba Femi and Tony D'Angelo. I don't actually remember the order of the matches, so I'm just going to go by down the card. Oba Femi and Tony D'Angelo was a hard-hitting battle. Thoroughly loved it. Oba looked strong, while at the same time they got Tony D sort of over as, like, you know, that the few, like so it made sense for him to have a little bit of offense. The offense that Tony D got, it didn't make Oba look weak. And it was just that perfect balance. To where you didn't completely squash Tony D'Angelo, but you still made Oba Femi look somewhat like a beast, right? Trying to think of what else happened before the two main events. I'm trying to think of the other match. I'm drawing blanks. Let's talk about Roxanne versus Wendy. Excuse me. Wendy faced Kalani. That was one of them. Wendy versus Kalani. And was a solid match. Wasn't anything spectacular. Wavy D mentioned this on Tuesday. The two styles were completely different. And so it's really hard when you have someone like Kalani Jordan, who's sort of newer to the product, to the industry. And she basically has to lead this match. Typically in the wrestling world, typically they have a person in the ring who calls the match, and it's typically the stronger of the wrestler. So I don't necessarily know who they considered that, who was calling the match. I just felt it was a little bit, it felt like the styles were off, right? And I'm just going to be honest, I'm not 100% like into this Wendy Chu, you know, nightmare gimmick. I'm not sold on it. I like that it got Rosemary on NXT TV, but that's about as far as I appreciate it. I just, down the road, it looks like this is probably going to lead to a Tatum versus Wendy Chu match. Hopefully this means that Tatum can, this is my real issue, is Tatum has an interesting gimmick, but because it's a little bit approaching on like the supernatural, like spooky, like Halloween type gimmick, they automatically pair her with another spooky Halloween type gimmick, which works going into Halloween Havoc. But when you sort of like push her into that mold where that's all she can do is play the background, it really hurts her ability to get a title, which I think she deserves. She's done a very good job over the last year of really developing her skills, her character, and finding a place that makes her unique. And Tatum actually, to me, has everything you want in someone that could be your women's North American champion, right? Talked about the tag match. I talked about the two North American champions. There's a fourth match in here that I seem to have forgotten about. And then we got the two, main title matches. But I want to figure out what I'm forgetting about before I move on. The best match of the night, Wesley versus Zach Wentz. How did I forget about this one? How did I forget about it? I was going to say the statement, well, it must not have been good enough if I forgot about it. But no, I just have a bad memory. Zach Wentz versus Wesley was that ish, dude. Wesley, love him as a heel. I mean, I liked him as a babyface, right? I thought that he fit the role well. And the more that I sort of look back at it, like, yeah, that he's that dude, right? Longest reigning North American champion. He did the open challenge thing that I really like that they did with him, where like it felt like every time he was in the ring, he was fighting someone for the title. That's how you build prestige to a mid-card title and to a wrestler, right? And that's why the North American Championship feels special. And now that Oba Femi has it and he's not challenging it as much, there's a prestige there and there's a reason people want to fight for it. But then you add Zach Wentz, who 100% only won the X Division title on last Friday night, 100%, so that they could get this on NXT TV. I'm 100% convinced of that. And you have them fight. It was a really good match. Trey gets involved, which I kind of expected would happen. And then we got to talk about this. You know, it was a banger of a match, spots everywhere that you can sort of remember. But I want to talk about Zach Wentz's finisher. I don't know what to call it. Really don't know how to describe it. But, oh, my God. Go back and just watch this move. This thing might be one of the greatest finishers I've ever seen in the last few months or years in wrestling. Like my issue with finishers now, outside of what we talked about, last week or a couple weeks ago, of like the no sell, the finishers don't actually finish the matches. The problem that I have with most finishers now is they are one of two things: either A, they're too simple. So something to me, now that doesn't mean it's not effective, but Randy Orton, the RKO, super effective. Still really simple, right? Or they're good moves. They're complicated moves that would definitely put you away, but they take too long or they look weird on camera. So two examples that I'm looking for, like the BFT from LA Knight, just looks weird. And it doesn't feel that effective. And then like Oblivion. Oblivion has to be like done perfectly. I feel like if someone with a little bit more athletic ability was doing it, maybe I would like Oblivion a little bit more. But like my issue with these people who try to do these complicated finishers and aren't necessarily the best at doing it, Zach Wentz is not one of them. Right? This finisher is the perfect balance of, like, what the hell just happened? And, well, that was really cool to look at, right? And I don't know how to explain it. This thing was just, like, it felt like a finisher. And a lot of times these finishing moves don't feel like finishers. That felt like something that if you got hit with that, you're out, you're done, the match is over, right? And so, you know, I like how they're booking this, this feud. This definitely can brawl over to, boil over to TNA TV. I would really love if, as we're building towards Halloween Havoc, the week before Halloween Havoc is Bound for Glory. TNA Bound for Glory is the week before Halloween Havoc. I would love if Wes Lee got a match at Bound for Glory for the TNA X Division title against Zach Wentz, right? That would be real cool. That would be really awesome, right? I don't know. I feel like that's where this is headed. Best match of the night, in my opinion. The two main titles. So you got Jada Parker versus Roxanne Perez. It was a really good match, but I think if you're honest, every one of us should have felt like Roxanne's winning this match. And this was all set up to bring in the big surprise. And the question was just, is it Julia or is it Stephanie Vaquer going into the night? I think theoretically going into the night, we kind of expected it was going to be Julia because of, you know, the dirt sheets. Now, if you don't pay attention, if you're super casual and you don't pay attention to the online stuff, then you may not have seen that, you know, she said goodbye to her grandpa and she left Japan. And we all kind of figured once Marigold was built and started running, so I think the All Japan Wrestling old promoter got fired, and so then he started Marigold, and Julia had like a promise to him that she would help him start that and get it running, and now that's up and good, and so now she's here. And let me tell you something. We talk about aura in wrestling, right? That's a word that's sort of like in all entertainment and all like life, people are so like, show me something that has aura. Gen Z feels like they found words again that have existed for decades, and now they're creating trends out of it, and it's actually quite stupid, you know. But like this idea of like, oh, you have a lot of aura. This is a trend. That word's going to go away. But while we're using it, aura is like the definition of aura is Julia, right? She just screams superstar, but she has one very important flaw. It's not her in-ring ability. It's not her presence. She has the look. Like, guys, y'all know me. Y'all know me. If I am in love with an Asian woman. And let's just be honest. Like, you have your likes, you have your things you dislike about, like, you have your types. Like, and Asian women tend to not be something I find attractive. If I'm attracted to one, there's an it, right? And maybe, just maybe, this may open a doorway to me finding other, you know, like I'll be honest, Io is not bad. Like, she's not bad looking. She's cute. But that's about as far as I find Io attractive. There's just something about Julia. Maybe it's the Italian in her, the half Italian that I don't know. There's just something about Julia that just perfection. Just perfection, right? And so she has the look. She has the entrance. The entrance is so cool. She has that aura. She has the wrestling ability, but what's the number one thing that really matters in WWE is the ability to sell me to watch you, right? And her the language barrier is going to be like, so her first promo in NXT on that on Tuesday's episode, very simple, but didn't quite make much sense. It wasn't a full sentence. I'll just say it that way. I'm 100% certain Shawn Michaels just went to her and said, hey, let's keep it simple. Just say these four things, and that's it. You, me, CW. That's basically all she said, which you can understand what she's saying. And it sounds like Roxanne's going to defend the title on the debut on the CW. That show, that October 1st show, is about to be a banger, y'all. Now, let's help out Julia here, right? That show's in Chicago. Let's get her a manager. Let's get her a mouthpiece. Let's get her AJ Lee. You know, AJ Lee is rumored to be coming back, and we kind of probably expect that it's going to happen in, at some way, shape, or form. But she also doesn't want to get back in the ring. So why not have AJ come back as a mouthpiece? Because she was decent. She was more better than decent on the mic. And have her come out. You know, I've always said Punk needs to be one of these guys who comes in and let's have him be a corporate ass kisser, right? And let's have him have Julia on the roster of people him and AJ can go around and like manage talent on each brand, right? And have them go around or even if it's just on NXT and have CM Punk there, right? I personally think CM Punk gets done with the Drew feud, and then he does the Seth Rollins feud and ends that there. And then I think he's done. Now, it looks like he wants some title aspirations going after Gunther. But we'll see. We'll see about that. But, yeah, I think this would be a great place to put AJ Lee to run as the mouthpiece for Julia. She doesn't have to necessarily get in the ring and wrestle. But she could come in there, cut promo, sell us on Julia, let Julia get the shine. Julia could do the rest in the ring, and it would just be very good, right? I think that would be the best way to protect Julia, because if you let her speak, it's going to be the first thing that makes Julia go from top independent free agent to we don't care about her. Right, to damage control, right? And that's my fear, is that she's going to instantly become the next Shinsuke, who like admired overseas, comes to America, can't speak the language, and that language barrier really hurts. And then she gets put to the mid card or not used because the fans aren't caring about her because of her lack of promo ability. So you got to get her a mouthpiece. You got to get her a mouthpiece somewhere, right? So that's my No Mercy thought. We got the main event, was perfectly booked. It made all three look strong while still building storyline ego. All ego is great, right? But really what it built was Pete Dunne, Trick Williams for next Tuesday show, right? So you go off air Sunday night with Williams getting beat and Pete Dunne sort of beating each other up, and then you start the night Tuesday with them continue still be right. That felt like a blood feud. It felt like it was personal, right? And it to the point to where it was supposed to be the main event, but Ava said, I've had enough of this shit, we're going to change plans, right? And so where Wavy D sort of complains about like, well, Raw needs structure and Adam Pearce needs to have the show booked out before it starts, I'm not necessarily in agreement with him. I think it's fun to have shit happen and to have matches created on the spot, or shit happens and we got to change this show, right? It's supposed to be the main event, but we're going to move it to the middle of the show because shit happens. I like that. That sort of break in reality from like, cause yeah, technically yeah, the show's already planned. So to make it feel a little bit less scripted, let's have random shit happen that changes the kayfabe booking of the show, right? And like we Ava adds shit all the time, where like it feels like Ava doesn't have a show plan, that she knows that such and such is going to happen, but it feels like 99% of the time, like we have like two matches planned on NXT, and then like a feud breaks out, and because of 95% of the roster, it feels like it's used, and things happen on a weekend, on a week to week basis, that we get random matches that, you know, an interaction happens backstage and then it leads to a match. You know, prime example this week was Jasmine Nix versus who the fuck did she fight? I think it was one of the girls backstage. I can't think of who it was because it wasn't the first name that came to mind was Petrovic, but she wasn't in that segment. She was in the segment with Brinley Reese and Adonis. But you get the gist. I'm saying, like, Jasmine Nixon, whoever she fought, I completely am blanking on the name right now. You know, they had a backstage interaction. It leads to a match, right? And I like that type of thing. And so that's my No Mercy thoughts. As we go deep, very solid, best show of the weekend. And I think NXT is just cooking right now. As we head to Hershey Center, which is fucking hilarious. I love this. Halloween Havoc in the Hershey Center. That's just poetic justice right there, where you have Halloween in the city that makes all the candy. That's fucking fantastic. I love that. I just thought about that as I was talking about this. As I said, as we're heading towards Hershey for Halloween Havoc, that thought popped in my mind. That's fantastic, dude. That's hilarious. That's hilarious that they put Halloween Havoc in the city where all the candy gets made. But let's talk about another thing real quick. Another thing, sort of thing that popped off this week was Odyssey Jones. Gone off the roster page, and there's been some allegations. Now, initially when he was removed from the roster page, I was like, oh, they're just doing website maintenance. He'll be back up later tonight. Never came back. He's not in the alumni, so he's not released. Not let go. Contract hasn't ended. Well, it's been several days. He's not on the website, right? And then we get these allegations that he's been fired. He's been removed from the internal roster. And that these allegations are of the domestic violence genre or type, right? Now, I have a rule. I don't speak on things as fact until they are proven as fact. That's my rule. So that's my rule with anything, whether it's a political scandal, an entertainment scandal, whatever it is. Until I have the facts, I tend to not like to speak on things, right? Because the last thing I want to do is say, hey, 6 months ago, I said this about Odyssey Jones. And then, I went off. All these people saying, fuck Odyssey Jones, right? Based on allegations, if these turn out to be wrong, you're going to have to turn around and say, ah, man, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to curse you like that, Odyssey, right? And so I'm not that type of person that likes to apologize for things, right? And I'm also the type of person that I like to have the information before I say it, because I'm at that point, that's slanderous, right? And so there's alleged allegations of domestic assault by Odyssey Jones on someone. Now, here's, can I just be honest for a minute? Here's where I have issue with this. As a man, this is a topic that's touchy for me. Let me say this. If Odyssey did it and he's proven to be guilty, yeah, then we can go out there and say, fuck you, Odyssey Jones. But until he's proven in a court of law, I'm not gonna say that. Because we've seen this numerous times. We had an entire summer spent, it felt like 2 or 3 years ago, over Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, where Amber Heard accused Johnny Depp of all of this, all of these allegations. And we go to court and we find in a court of law, Johnny Depp's not guilty. But we do find out, though, Amber Heard was absolutely fucking insane. right? And as a man, these are these type of things where allegations get spread to anybody, right? To anybody, right? And these allegations happen, and I'm not right. And almost instantly, we're in a culture where you have to believe the victim, even if they're right. And so my question is this: where's the proof? We're now a week into the saga, and I've yet to see proof of anything. Right now, we're going to talk about why WWE responded the way they did. But that, let me tell you what I would have done. I'm going to call you out because I actually agree with you. Kara, one of our listeners, she's in our Discord. She's also in the CWC Discord, right? Kara asked a genuine question. I don't quite understand the Odyssey Jones situation. Why not just put him on leave until he's, you know, he should be considered innocent until proven guilty? Why did he get fired? Very, very innocent question. Very good question. And let me just sit here and tell you, Kara, I absolutely agree with you. I live by the way our country was supposed to be run, that in the eye of the law, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. However, in the court of public opinion, which seems to matter more than the court of law in our culture today, in the court of public opinion, you are guilty until you are proven innocent. I don't agree with that, but that's just the situation. That's just the country that we live. That's just the culture and society that we live in. And I don't agree with that. Let me tell you how I would have responded if I was the owner of Endeavor. Now, I have other speculations about this. I'm not trying to make this political, but the owner of Endeavor, Ari Emanuel, his brother used to be the Democrat governor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. That's his brother, right? They're super liberal. And again, I'm not trying to make a political conversation out of this, but this idea of like canceling someone over observations, it fits the course. It fits the course of this cancel culture from the left type thing, that until you, right, you don't have to even be proven to have done anything wrong. If there's an allegation against it, they're going to go after you type thing, right? Now, this is a completely different situation than most situations, right? Like this is of the domestic violence type, and so it is a touchy subject. But and again, I'm not trying to make this political because I highly doubt this was a political call. But there is that was one of my first thoughts in this as well, was, well, this fits, right? With the people who own, I think that's the first thing. We have to understand that WWE is owned by new people now. They're owned by Endeavor. It's going to run 100% different than if this was done under Vince McMahon. I highly doubt this is news that Odyssey Jones has released. He's probably removed from TV. Vince would probably let it blow over for 6-8 months. Odyssey Jones is right back on TV. That I honestly believe that's how Vince would have handled it. But they're owned by new people. How would I have handled it? The same way Vince probably would have handled it. Oh, Odyssey, there's allegations against you, man. So unfortunately, we're gonna have to do an investigation with that. And I would make a public statement, because the thing that really bothers me about this is Endeavor has released zero press about this to either get in front of it. They haven't talked about why, if he was released. We don't know if he's actually released or not. That came from Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez and Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful and all of them. And so the first thing that I want to say is this. If those are your sources, I'm not going to instantly believe you. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Until it is a WWE verified press release that Odyssey Jones has been released, I'm not going to 100% agree that he's been released. So what I'm assuming happened is they removed him from the Eternal roster. He's probably been suspended and for some way, and they're doing an investigation, or they've done an investigation and they found him to be guilty. The second, though, if they've done an investigation and found him guilty, why not release a press release to explain that you've done an investigation? It just feels everything just feels a little bit sketchy to me. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. on this instance, right? Because the source that apparently claimed to be beaten by him, it's an anonymous account that got started in June. And I'm sorry for sounding suspicious of these allegations. If they're true allegations, he needs to be, then yes, let justice have its course. But I'm not going to take allegations from an account that was started 6 months ago, if that less than 6 months ago, like 4 months ago. I'm not really going to take an anonymous account. Like, and I hate to say this, but where's the proof? If he beat you, show us the proof. You said you had proof. Where is the proof? Right? That's just my take on it. So how would I have handled it? I would have been very public. I would have been very out in the open with everyone. Hey, Odyssey Jones is going to be put on paid leave, paid suspension, where he will not be allowed to participate in anything with the company. However, because he hasn't been proven guilty yet, we're not going to stop him from getting paid. So it's like, I'm not going to take a paycheck away from the man just because of an allegation, right? I'm dead honest with you there. I would put him on paid leave. I'd tell him, go enjoy the next few months on vacation. When we need you to answer questions, please come in. That's as far as we'll need you for. We will need a statement from you. We got some questions. We're going to do an investigation. And until this thing gets solved, you can't be a part of the company. You're on paid suspension, right? You'll be paid. You'll get a paycheck every 2 weeks for your salary, just like normal, right? And there's that. And be very up and blunt with them. If this investigation finds that you are guilty, obviously you will be terminated. But until the investigation is done, not, at this point, you still technically work for us. You're just on paid leave, right? That's how I would have handled it. And I would have had a press conference, and I would have explained all of that we're doing an investigation. And if found guilty, we would, you know, go to the furthest extent to get justice for the victim, right? That's how I would have handled it. Let's talk about why WWE handled it the way WWE handled it. If he is actually released, this is the idea. This is the idea. It's the Enzo Amore Velveteen Dream situation, right? Where allegations happen and we're just going to instantly cut ties with you without knowing any information, because it's easier to fix amends with you than it is to fix amends with the court of public opinion, who doesn't forgive, right? The court of public opinion doesn't forgive. And so that's what rules everything. And so we don't need people being upset that, we don't need investors leaving us. We don't need sponsors leaving us over these allegations. And so what we're going to do is we're going to make an extreme decision. Odyssey Jones, you're fired. We're going to do an investigation, and we're going to see if this goes through the court process or whatever, and you're proven not guilty, then we'll bring you back, Odyssey, if you're still interested. We'll bring you back. But we're not going to hold on to you for you to be found guilty. So then we have to be like, oh, you kept him even though he was guilty and you had information before, right? And so this is just it's a marketing thing. It's a PR thing. It's a, hey, we just don't want the company to look like we're holding on to someone, right? And I think that's an absolute bullshit way to run a company, but it's the way corporations run. I think it's soft. I think that if I was an employer, I have my employees back until he's proven to do something wrong, right? That's just how I would operate, right? That's just how I would operate. I don't like the idea that Odyssey Jones gets completely removed from everything, like to the point to where like they don't even mention him on the screen they don't even mention like, oh, he's hurt, or man, I wish that big guy was still here. We really need some help. We sort of like end up right on screen, like end the story or something, right? I don't like that they just completely wiped him clean from the fact that he was getting a push, right? And it's just the timing just seems very convenient, seeing that, you know, if this happened in July when Odyssey Jones wasn't on TV, or sometime before then, before Odyssey Jones was on TV, supposedly, why wait until he's on TV getting a push? Like, see, these are the questions that I start to have with these allegations, because I've seen it time after time after time. Enzo Amore being prime example number one, where an allegation gets made and then it's proven to be false. And so it's really hard to believe someone when they push allegations with limited proof, and the timing just feels off, man. The timing feels, a lot of this is sketchy. We really don't have information. So, right. And so that's just sort of how I feel in this situation, right? Odyssey Jones had a lot of potential, and I feel like people, the way it looks to me is that these allegations are more than likely, in my mindset right now, until proven otherwise, I think it's a false allegation. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. And if it was released, it fucking sucks, dude. Because I hate this, the culture that we live in, where an allegation gets you fired. Right? Typically, like, the way our country should run is, look, man, there's these allegations. We're going to let this legal system play out. And until you're proven guilty, I got you, dog. But once you're proven guilty, you're fired. That's how I would handle this. I don't like the way this has been handled. I'm going to be completely honest with you. All right, so the main thing I want to talk about on this is, and I know this documentary that I'm about to talk about, this docuseries, is kind of old, and people probably have found it, but I'll be honest, I got rid of Netflix probably about a year or two ago, and had no interest in keeping it, and with the idea of I'll just get it back when Outer Banks comes back. And then we'll get rid of it again. And then every time there's a new season, I'll just write. Then they announced WWE to Netflix. So I got Netflix again. And so I've been watching and catching up with some of the things that I've missed. And one of those is this docuseries called Wrestlers. And it's an entire docuseries about OVW. And I don't know. I instantly fell in love with it, right? And I just want to talk about, like, watching this really built my enjoyment for the world of wrestling, right? Some of the stories of these guys, like, when you really get down to it, 90% of the pro wrestlers, if not more, that are in this business that I love so much, that we love so much as wrestling fans. I know a lot of the casual fans may not feel the same way, but I love wrestling. Like, I really do. Like, it's an industry that is just booming, right? It's something that just, it entertains me. It's like that place that I go to just have a good time, right? The way people treat football, and I feel the same way about football and hockey, right? But the way people feel about that type of sport is the way I feel about wrestling, right? Casual fans may not feel that way. Maybe they're just in it for the storyline, and they don't really think about where the background of these wrestlers, right? But when I was watching this docuseries, and I highly recommend it, and it goes into some of these people who've been in the business for 10, 15, 20 years, working for, like, there's a guy, their Cash Flow, who's been in the business for, like, 20 years, he's never really got an opportunity at the big time. Put his body on the line for 20 years, working for $25, $30, $40, $50 a night. And it's his main way of taking care of his family. That's his career. Right? You see some of these people who are pro wrestlers who've been in it for 5, 10, 15 years, but they work as hotel managers or right. I think 9 or 10 of these people work at the same hotel that one of the wrestlers is a manager at. Like, I think a lot of OVW works at the Holiday Inn. right? And you just see the dedication these people have to being wrestlers. And they talk about, I mean, it's an adrenaline rush. And, like, I don't know, as a fan of wrestling, like, that really just, like, was that hit to me. Like, man, these people may never make it to the big time. They're never going to be known by a national audience of millions of people. But they're right, and then we got like Jesse Godders. Like he used to be on TNA. Like Mahabali Shira was part of this. Layla Gray is an up and coming wrestler. I think her name's Hollywood. Something J, Haley J, or something like that. She's one of the young ones. Like there's people here that they have stories of crazy shit, you know, growing up in Kentucky and all that shit, right? And like most of these people are never going to see the big time, and they're working for limited funds on a week to week basis. And you know, you got Al Snow running OVW, right? And then you realize that, you know, the company has new ownership and the show shows this, and like instantly this dude becomes like public enemy number one to me. His name's Matt Jones. And he comes in and instantly runs this thing like it's a, and I mean, it is a business. So like, I understand it, but he comes in and he runs this thing. Like he tells the one camera guy, the singular camera guy, he does camera work, commentary, sets up shit, right? This dude, like this episode really pissed me off where he pulls this dude in, he does camera work, he does the commentary, he does, you know, they had just shown him, they were setting up like a meet and greet at like a golf club or whatever, like a country club. He was setting up for that event. They pulled this dude in and was like, man, funds are short. We just don't quite understand why we need you at the salary we need. You need to prove your worth. As if this dude doesn't work 60-something hours. Like, and I feel that, right? Because I've been at that position before where you're busting your ass for someone and they just don't recognize all you do for the company, right? And that got me, right? This dude became public enemy number one, right? And I just, I don't know, man. I'm not done with the first season yet. I just wanted to mention it to you guys that this thing just boosted why I care about this business so much, because there are people fighting to entertain me, and I think they need to be respected and cheered on. And I think we need to understand that not everybody that's in this business is going to make it to WWE or AEW. And I think they all need their flowers. As a wrestling fan, like, the independent circuit needs to be supported. Even if you're a casual fan, right? Even if you watch for the storyline, some of the best story work you'll find will be from the independents. From some of these, now I'm not talking like PWG or some of these bigger guys where, you know, the Young Bucks come from. I'm talking about like your local independent scene. Now, OVW, if you can go to one of their, I wish they would travel outside of the Ohio Valley, like down here to like North Carolina, because I would love to see one of their tour shows. But, you know, OVW is the only other, outside of WWE and AEW, OVW is the only show, at least at the time of the filming of this documentary, that did live shows on some sort of TV network. Now, they only did it in the Ohio Valley. It wasn't like a national broadcast, but you get what I'm saying, right? So, yeah, highly recommend that documentary if you haven't watched it. It'll really, I think, grow your appreciation for some of these wrestlers, man. Their backstories and seeing how they live day to day is it really makes you feel something for these wrestlers, right? And the next thing I want to talk about is a new segment I'm creating called Star of the Week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take, starting from Friday to Friday, right? So starting from SmackDown till the end of essentially NXT, because I don't watch AEW, right? Who is the star of the week to me on the WWE scene between SmackDown, then Raw, and then NXT, right? Who did the most to me to be the We Too Deep star of the week? And this week is going to be Maxxine Dupri. She had a match, that tag match, or like the mixed tag match or whatever, and she did her thing. She has improved. She did, you know, she was the star of the match, if you ask me. Maxxine Dupri, she's one of them that, you know, Wavy D asked, I think it was Wavy D that asked during Raw and in the CWC Discord, you know, has Maxxine earned like a potential title opportunity? And my response to that is not the world title. I don't think she's there yet. I don't think it makes much sense to put her in the title picture. But if we had a mid-card title, right? This is why you have a mid-card title. It's so Maxxine Dupri can get rewarded for for all the work she's put in. And that, the right, you see what's happening with the mid-card title in NXT. Everyone's invested. All the women on that roster have a purpose now, right? If I'm not going to go after Roxanne, if I'm not there yet, if I'm mid-card, if I'm Tatum Paxley, if I'm, you know, Lola Vice, Kendall Gray, Carly Brink, I think is her name, Izzy Dame, right? I have a purpose. I have a purpose, and that is I want to prove to Ava that I can beat Kalani, right? Because you're only going to have – so what's the women's title picture? Sean's booking this the way I would book it. Your women's title picture, your main title, your Roxanne Perez's title. You have Roxanne Perez in the title picture. You have Jada Parker in the title picture. You have now Julia inserting herself. But that's it. That's it. You're gonna have the Roxanne Jada match, or excuse me, Roxanne Julia match. You're gonna have Jada floating around there, but that's it. The rest of the women are mid card right now. So that's why JC Jane and Fallon Henley and all of them are going after Kalani. That's Kalani's the main focus of the women's division because she's gonna have the most people fighting for her title. And that's the way it should be because it elevates, right? Eventually what that does is it elevates Kalani Jordan to a level to where she then loses that title and goes to fight Roxanne. Or Julia, or Jada, whoever has the title at the moment, right? That's how you utilize this. So Maxxine Dupri, if Raw had a mid-card women's title, put it on her, have her have these matches, have her fight, have her show her skills and her ability, and open challenges and stuff like that, and boom, you're good. Boom, you now elevate her to a level where she can fight for the world title, and it makes sense, right? So yeah. That's where I feel about it. Maxxine Dupri is the star of the week. So tune in next Friday to find out who next week's star of the week will be. The last thing I want to talk about is react to that. And I don't really have a quote. I just have a title heading and just something I really got to rant on. And that is Hulk Hogan on some podcast or somewhere stated that he never used creative control in WCW. And if you heard that, yes, you heard me correctly. Hulk Hogan said he never used creative control. And the first thing that I thought about was, well, can you insert Bash at the Beach 2000? Because that sounds like a lot of creative control to me, my guy. And you don't have to like Russo, but insert Vince Russo into this. Like, bro, dude, like, bro, I tried to write Jeff Jarrett as champion, bro. But the Hulkster said that wouldn't do for me, bro. So, bro, like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, that's what Vince Russo is probably going to sound like when he hears this. And I just, Hawk, the fuck are you talking about? We have eyes, dude. 90% of the current wrestling fan base was alive while you were in WCW. We could go back and watch you use your creative control. Like, Hawk, what the hell are you talking about, dude? This is why no one believes Hulk Hogan. Because he always tries to find a way to make himself either look good or the victim in any situation. It's crazy. He lies out of his fucking eyeballs, dude. Any sentence that he speaks could potentially be a lie. That's crazy as shit to say that, Hulk. Knowing that a lot of your fan base were alive while you were still in WCW. A lot of the people who were going to react to that were alive or during your run in WCW. Hulk, what are you talking about? You never use creative control. Shut up, dude. What the hell are you talking about? I didn't even watch WCW. But every documentary that I've ever seen about it was Hulk Hogan used creative control. The fuck are you talking? Like, oh my God, dude. I like blew a gasket when I read that. I showed my friend Cody. I showed Cody. And I told him that. And yeah. His response was the same as mine. Like, blank stare and then laugh. Like, what the Hulk, what the, are you drunk, dude? Are you insane? Did you just completely lose your mind, like, your memory? Like, Hulk, come on, dude. Come on, dude. You ain't got to lie about it. We know you use creative control. That's the show, y'all. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and watching. Again, support us by buying your merchandise through the link in the description. Join the Discord. Join the conversation. Would love to carry on with you guys about what was talked about here. If you need help getting on the Discord, let me know. Myself or Wavy D can help you. With that, I will see you guys on Tuesday. Hope you enjoy your weekend and see y'all again on Tuesday. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. 'Cause lately I've been